Australian Bible Church, May the 12th, 2013. A Presbyterian church based on Christ without qualification. The Bible without compromise. In accord with the thrust of the Constitution of 1901 of the Presbyterian Church of Australia. The way, the far way, and the drawing near to God is the title of this morning's address from the Bible. Indeed, our plan is to trace 15 Bible verses. Find its end, a good place to begin a walk. We'll then proceed to where it goes. So the plan. If you look at Job 10, verse 8, you find that God has made man, glorious translation, an intricate unity. That's Job. Modern microbiological work shows just some of the marvels of that intricacy in man's bodybuilding program. There's an architectural schedule back of the intensive command structures that are set in babes and adults. It's like a signature on an artist's work. Man in mind and spirit and body is a construction. And when these realities are butchered or bust or defective through misuse, great is the tragedy. Horrible are the results. Like a Jaguar car left alone at 115 miles an hour with the accelerator flat down, the driver evacuating. Great is the tragedy in spoilage which man then suffers. For any building, there is a plan for the purpose. For a car, there's a layout for directed motion. For a person, there is a spirit for imagination. And if you didn't have it, you couldn't contradict the evidence. Or take issue with God, or invent false ones of your own, some making them the same as nothing, which I then perhaps worship, which is difficult since it isn't there. For a person, there's a plan of God. There's a path of truth and a path of error. There's a way of truth and there's a way of death. These things must be faced. Too long has the mischief and the madness of worshipping matter, which cannot and does not, pushed as it may be, construct mind or spirit. Just do it. Why do we have this madness, this anti-laboratory folly? We need to look at spiritual matters as spiritual matters, mental matters as mental matters, moral matters as moral matters, and get on with being realistic. Let's have a look at these 15 educative and instructive verses to the point to get some direction. They're all about the way. The way. There is a way to do everything. Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. You may deceive yourself, but you cannot deceive death. Withered corporeal remnants of people ravaged by disease laugh at their lordliness and squalid contempt for their maker. And just as they came by design, so they go. When the cells have finished their program, the resources, the bodily level, unless God intervenes. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end, its end is the way of death. There is a way for death. There's a way for dissolution. It has its ways. Life has its ways. It is best to understand. Thus you also read in Proverbs 16:31, the silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. Righteousness isn't just somebody's subjective concept. Righteousness relates to the body as made. I look at all the bodies, I look at all the minds, I look at all the spirits, I look at all the creations of man, and I marvel. I look at feet. How can there be billions of these feet with these 10 toes, these marvelous subtle pieces of ambulatory, exquisite equipment? How can they all be the same? How can they? They're designed with billions of operatives,
Posso niti array.
I hate every false way. 119.104 instructs us.
A false way of bringing up a kid.
Anyone can see that. That's horrible. You see of young women chained in some communist spot revealed in the paper recently. You see children sacrificed to the desires of the parents.
Life is mangled and marred and chewed and spewed.
I hate every falsehood. 119.104.
Who wouldn't hate the spoliation of one of the most glorious orchids you've ever seen, but man is better than an orchid in the magnificence of his construction.
And so we see the 119.30. I have chosen your precepts. A lot may be said about the freedom of the will. I haven't yet noticed an atheist who's not free to blaspheme, to mock, to scurve, to swerve into a moment by his own verbosity, and preposterous, imaginative, remarkable, inventive and original concepts. But I have chosen, not imagination which attests to liberty, but I have chosen your precepts. My man is subjective to great restraints and constraints because of the pathology of his soul. God is not unable to awaken him. In Hebrews 6 you even learn that some have tasted of heavenly things, and yet they never swallowed them. God is able to breach the dead character and to reach. Never imagine that any natural law is too much for God. Have you chosen his precepts? Psalm 107:7. He led them by the right way. Let's take a look at this. Psalm 107 is a magnificent, glorious number of vicissitudes, all ending up with the return to the Lord. If you're wandering from the Lord, we'll return to him. Don't mess about. The way is dangerous when you're outside. Psalm 107:7. Let's read about. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty. It's all fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord. In their trouble. Do you have a trouble? Have you cried? He delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them. I love that. I would lead my horse here and there, and it would follow, and then we'd get going with something else. To be led is magnificent. It's not a denial of liberty, it's an augmentation. And if you've chosen the precepts of the law, well, that's an application. And he led them forth by what? By the right way. There is always a right way. Never be deluded by such sophisticated substitutes for truth to imagine that the problem you have has no answer. It has always an answer. God never ceases living. It doesn't matter what you've got yourself into. If you find the Lord, there will be an answer. Never compromise saying there's no other way. There is always the right way. So in Psalm 119:1, what do we read? Blessed are the undefiled in the way. Isn't that lovely? I think we all tend. Look at the new baby, some spectacular example of youth, of young manhood, of young womanhood, some beautiful maturity of wisdom, some marvelous example of old age without senescence. And we say, isn't it just lovely? Like an orchid, like spring. Isn't it lovely? The sheer vitality and exuberance, the sense of chaste righteousness. Isn't it lovely? That can happen to anyone spiritually too. Undefiled. Once your sin is pardoned, once your pollution is gone, go undefiled. Blessed are the undefiled. Where? In the way. There is a way. There is a way of righteousness. There is a way of truth. For long I searched for truth as a young person. And I found it. It came extracurricularly from the Lord when Christ was revealed as my Savior. Now look at divine wisdom. Wisdom! Where is it, says Job? Is it to be found under the earth, in the skies? Where is it? Where is a place of wisdom? Where is it to be found? Well, obviously,
my thoughts and your thoughts, and our lookings and our thoughts, and our reactions and our responses to one another and to what we see, are all very interesting and maybe quite enlightening. But wisdom knows, we may suppose, wisdom knows, and it is found in the only one who, having made all, understands all, comprehends all, and brings better than consolation, truth. Truth, man is worse than an animal. Devilish constructors of dynamic, almost unlimited surges of misled imagination. But find wisdom. Then, Proverbs 3:17. What do you find? What's wisdom like? Wisdom of God. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. Pleasantness, isn't that a lovely thing? It's not just pleasure. It's agreeableness. Sense of comfort, of appropriateness, of moving according to the right way. The ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace, such as you do not see in this wicked and unwise world. States within states. Corruption, revolt, rebellion, insidious divisions within rebellions, master plans, uses of segments by other powers with spiritual objectives, material objectives, intellectual objectives, elections to have glory as the centerpiece when God is removed. But when you find the wisdom of God which brings cleansing to your soul, reconstruction to your heart and regeneration to your life. When I say you find wisdom, listen, all her paths, all, at peace. You may be crucified, but you will be at peace. All her paths are peace. Proverbs 4:26 tells us to ponder. Have you ever pondered? Have you ever considered? Have you sat back and looked askance from the things you're doing, scurrying and hurrying, like mouse, a dog, a stag, a cheetah, a antelope, a deer, a hawk? And say, what am I? What am I doing? Why am I doing it? Where am I? How have I got there? Where do I plan to go? What is my basis? What is my wisdom? What is my foundation? What is my start? What is my finish? What are my values? What are my priorities? Why are they? Don't let yourself off. Ponder the paths of your feet and let all your ways be established. When you've got some great opportunity before you, what do? If you are a Christian, you say, right, I do not mean this is the only plan, but this is the tenor of any plan. Right, this is where I am. This is what I am currently doing. This is why I'm doing it, and these are its fruits. That which is on offer, as far as may be perceived, and of course you check it all out, that is its way. That is its objective. These are its apparent fruits. These are my talents. These are their needs. This is the degree of fit. You do everything. You ponder. But then if any man lack wisdom, let him ask, and it will be given, says James. Then you say, Lord, I have found this. To me it would seem thus. But from you only will I take my direction. As did Moses, as did Abraham, as did Peter, as did Philip, as did Paul. Then, when the Lord has made it clear to your heart, which is asking by faith, you act. Ponder the paths of your feet, but not only as to a particular case, as to the entire direction of your life. If it needs correction, have it corrected. Then you get that delicious fact, as we mentioned before, being led in the way of righteousness of Proverbs 8:20. Here we are looking divine wisdom. You see, it almost as a child brought up a sort of continual expression, a relation nearer and dearer than conjugality, than any friendship. The infinite intimacy of the Trinity. There's wisdom. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of peace. There's the wisdom of God. Christ is our wisdom and our righteousness, says 1 Corinthians 1. Here is wisdom leading in the way. Wisdom is contained in Christ. In him are all the riches and depths of the glory of the Lord. Proverbs 14:12 tells us, remind ourselves, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. We all know that. You take a wrong turning. Seemed to be complicated at the time. You go the way you're not supposed to be going for the purpose you have in hand. You feel embarrassed. Surely I have not gone wrong. After 10 miles, you must surely have gone wrong. But can I have made such a mistake as that after 20 miles? You begin to consider that perhaps you have made such a mistake as that. And as you're going along, about to consider whether you'll humble yourself to the point of acknowledging your error, you notice a great pit. The brakes screech on. You stop 2 inches from disaster. It's the wind, it's the way of death. Many people don't put on the brakes, but the accelerator, trying to cover it up by pure speed and action. So they don't see the substance in the direction. Isaiah 35:8 tells us of a very different way. Highway shall be there. I like that. I mean, I know that little rambling lanes with their trees, as in the French Tour de France, as in Britain, they're very delightful. But if you want to go somewhere, and you want to get there, there's not a time for dallying. A highway is a great thing. A highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. Even fools will not err in that. I've been looking at Australian roads lately, we've been a fair bit on them. I see all sorts of signs. This recommended speed, that lane, don't do this, do that, way out, go back. Tremendous number of signs. Brilliant whitenesses and all sorts of things that reflect at night to warn you, this and that. I say to myself, you know, those people who say Australian roads, and I'm not talking all of them, have got an awful lot of good information, are quite right. This is rather a magnificent construction. I speak of some, but some of them are excellent. A highway with all the signs. If your heart is right, you're not going to go wrong. A highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. Holiness is not going to lead you astray. Though flesh may tempt you to believe so. We're not talking of wax saints. We're talking of those who have waxed strong in wisdom. Holiness. Wholehearted devotion to and filling with the presence of God. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits, says Proverbs 16:2. We're not the only ones to ponder. God weighs our spirits. I love that. That's a sort of image, an oxymoron. How can you physically weigh a spirit? You couldn't. For matter is only the garb of a spirit. All the body is an implement for spirit. Do you love truth, courage, nobility? Do you have ambitions? How long? What color? What's the density? What's the pressure? Ridiculous, invisible things guide us all. Materialism is one of the greatest follies of illogical and intense and immense confusion that is possible to imagine. Weigh a spirit brings it home. There are different ways of weighing. You can weigh the importance, the consequences, the significance, the essential meaning. Something in your mind, by mental means, by moral means, by spiritual vitality and discernment. Why do people use these qualities to abuse them and deny them? Even as they deny them, they use them. So it means that God considers the depths, the superficialities, the longings, the drives, the imaginations, the purposes, the programs, the evaluations that may be found in a man's spirit. He knows them. Some people don't seem to like what they might think of as God spying on their souls. Let's be open about it. It's there. He made it. Do you want the farmer to be enabled to look at his cattle? Contented cattle, isn't it nice? Not the wild frenzied bull calves. Do I have to add, because of political niceness, also that there might be heifer calves? Doesn't matter. So the Lord ponders well to what it all comes for a given man. He weighs the spirit of a given woman. What it comes to, what it comes from, and where it is going. This verse also gives a slight tangent to weighing metals. Where with some there's a slight weight, a light weight, and a great weight, or significance. Then in Isaiah 53:6, we come to the heart of things. Oh, we have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of his life. Ah, someone may say, well, that's good. I'm glad all that's been done. The Lord's taken care of all that side of things. I'll go ahead now and enjoy myself and do whatever seems good. It's nice that all that's been done, all the title deeds and all that's all fixed up. Not so. If you happen to look at Isaiah 53, and let us do so, you'll find better information than that. 53:3, he is despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we didn't esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Who are we? We, if you happen to look at verse 5, are defined. There are those who are healed. Iniquity is looked on their sickness. By his stripes. Does his pain make your healing? No, but his pangs are part of his bearing your sin and its consequences, so that freely you may be pardoned with justice in time. Justice is a great thing. It's horrible to depart from. To be pardoned in justice is magnificent. By his stripes you are healed. Who are we? Saved sinners. What does it then say? Verse 6, all we like sheep. Well, are you a saved sinner? If so, then you'll be led. You'll go on the highway of holiness. You'll have peace. That's to whom it is presented, and is required of you is to call on the name of the Lord, to repent and to receive and to be regenerated, and to take what Christ has offered freely, with an exclamation of your soul, from the desperation of your realization. You need to go on the right way with your Creator through the redemption he offers through the Messiah. So long predicted, so gloriously effected. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He is the way. He said, I am the way. You want the way? He is it. He's not a communist dictator. He's not a capitalist dictator. He's not some of biological fantasy dictator trying to survive as if that meant anything. People jostling women and children apart to get into a lifeboat. They're trying to survive. Does that mean anything? Jeremiah 10:23 tells us that it's necessary to be in the way, humble yourself down to fact. You didn't make yourself, you didn't decide to be born, and your day of death is not from yourself, and the vitality of your spirit is not from yourself. You are a made thing. True, the thing in this case is a person. True, it's made in the image of God. True, you have imagination and love and liberty. You have these things in measure. But if you want the total overseeing to give you the worldwide direction to your spirit, it is not in man who walks, says Jeremiah 10:23, to direct his steps.
We just need to be at home with your Master, your Maker, your Savior. You need to know the way to go, because where my servant is, there will I be also, he says. When you're on the moon, it may be well to keep in contact with Houston, Texas, or whatever other control center may be equipped with knowledge, and at rest, so that it is able to be aware of what you are doing without scurrying about. When, however, you are on Earth, it is best to keep in close contact with the God who made you. Not as a God, but as a child before him. I am not ashamed to have an infinitely wise parent in heaven before whom I am a child. I am delighted. Because it's a fact. It's a delicious fact to have such a one as my parent. A person, like a child, then, becoming the Lord's through faith, has to be established in Christ. To learn how to communicate with him through faith. To find his will and wit and wisdom, and to grow up in Christ. Let's look at Ephesians 4. But speaking, verse 15, the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. There's the head, composited, composed, and cooperative with the rest of the body, under the head, grow up into him. Like a body that goes through youth, spiritual youth in this case. Ezekiel 18:25 deals with protests about God. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way which is fair, and your ways which are not fair? God, in Ezekiel 18, is making a grand offer. If someone who is unrighteous turns from his unrighteous ways to the Lord and finds him, then the Lord will forget sins, pardon, redeem, pay for the violation tickets, the violence and the violence, and forget. The person, however, turns the other way, so will he be judged. As he is, so it will be. That's not fair, they say. Not fair to be given a free pardon. Not fair to have an underlying mercy that, disposing of all, would grab you and grasp you and deliver you. Not fair. It's not your ways that are fair, says God, it's mine. And finally, Ezekiel 18. Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel. Yeah, this is for those who reject. Don't forget John 3:19. This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men have preferred darkness to light. Therefore I will judge you. If you want darkness, dark is your suit, dark is your suiting, dark is your casing, dark is your spiritual coffin. Therefore I will judge your house of Israel, everyone according to his ways. Repent and turn from our transgressions, so that the iniquity will not be your ruin. Turn from your transgressions. Cast away from all your transgressions. Don't limp. Don't compromise or equivocate or procrastinate. Cast away from you all. A-L-L. If you remember nothing else of this address, remember all. Cast away all your transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? Well, this stirs me. I don't know about you. Someone that doesn't want me to die, doesn't want me to take the consequences of my errors, doesn't want me to depart into a mangled, morbid mess, but wants me to live. What a partner, when that is God. I said, what more could you possibly ask? Why should you die, O house of Israel? Oh, I have no pleasure in the death of the one who dies, says the Lord. Therefore, turn and live. So we go to where the way leads.
James 4:4 has this to say. The path to destiny we look at. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Don't vex your spirit with things too high for you, as you see in Psalm 131:1. You're not God. And to be pretentious in your actions or beliefs, this just makes you like chaff. The heavier you get, the lighter you are. It's a sort of paradox, but to get heavy just means to be too self-important. And that makes you light because you're just a mystery, a vexation, a mist, a folly, a confusion, a pretentious, paranoid, self-elevating error. The wicked, says Psalm 1, are like the chaff which the wind blows away. Don't complain about this, that, and the other happening. If you want that, the nature of your calling, if that's what you want, is to be like chaff. If it happens, that shows the scripture right. Don't complain, whatever you do, if that's your choice. To ignore the seed which planted can grow into the Lord and to contain yourself as yourself for yourself all your days. It's not only insulting your Maker, it's insulting your own nature which came from it, abusing it into its death. Whether in path of collision or in variance, there's always a way. There's always a destiny for that way. I mean, Jonah, he was, shall we say, at variance with the Lord. Sent to a mission field, he wouldn't go. Eventually he did, but in the meantime, he was at variance with the Lord. There was a change for that. After he suffered certain things, he went, and great were the consequences. There was a way out. Further happened to Jonah, and there was a way out for that. Maybe it's a case of backsliding, as with Peter. I don't know the man, he says concerning Jesus Christ, who was in the meantime suffering through improper judicial processes before the crucifixion. Backsliding. Oh, there were reasons for it. We haven't time to go into them, but that's what it was. It doesn't matter what the reasons for backsliding may be. It doesn't matter how reasonable they may seem. If your tile squeals on the corner, it squeals. Whatever the reason, the squeal is a fact. And if you are backsliding, it's a fact. Peter did it. There's a way out. He found it. Weeping, grieving, looking to the Lord who didn't forsake him. Prostration may be your problem. As for the Elijah, a great saint, mind you. Fast through his works. Endlessly famous was that confrontation with the forces of unbelief, disfaith, murderous relationships to children and so on at Mount Carmel. Down came the fire. Great was the confirmation. Marvelous was the miracle. God had shown that he alone could do things which make a physical, observable, demonstrable difference like the resurrection. But Elijah, having run down the hill, knowing that the murderous cream was trying to kill him, was exhausted. I'm no better than my fathers. Fancy that. He's just won 100 yards, the 200 yards, the 440 and the 880 all in one day, as it were. He's exhausted. I'm no better than my fathers. I love them. Instead of preening himself, he's realizing how little he is. And God prepares for him food, appointment, a meeting, a still small voice, direction. There is always an answer. There is always a path. There is always a destiny. There is a way that is right. And Christ is it. In John 14:6, we read, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This world is omitting the way. It is out of the way and in dismay, as Christ indicated. Tension and anxieties amongst the nations. Unless the Lord returned, the world wouldn't be able to continue human life. That's the way you can see so obviously now. The world is coming to an eventual termination, as in Matthew 24:35. A
Heaven and earth will pass away. Get that straight. Real estate won't matter, will it?
It doesn't matter so much when you pass on either, does it? Really?
Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. There will be a new heavens and a new earth, where liberty and love have their desires. That is right. Omission of this way leads the world to eventual termination, which is far better. That is what the world suffers, though it is disintegration and annihilation, as in 2 Peter 3. The alternative for personal beings is everlasting shame, as we learn in Daniel 12. Not termination, but determinable shame. So, keep your eyes open, Matthew 13:15. Don't shut your eyes lest you be converted. Isaiah 45:22 tells us this. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Case clenched and closed. Appeal, repentance, salvation, the Messiah, his mastery, his murder, his crucifixion, all predicted, his resurrection, his return, the state of the world, the destiny that is coming upon us. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there's no other. Can you hear? Then answer. Can you see? Then follow. Do you follow? Then be faithful. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee that thy words follow. They follow one another with all the blessed benignity of truth. Sublime benign. We see God is one. Those who continue the struggle to their very consciences are scars. Alas. The call is there and the love is there. We thank thee, O Lord, that thou art not subject to moods. Call is free. The love is rich. God love. Nothing contrary to it is found. The Lord, we pray for revival and opening of the hearts of men. That not mess, but marvel may be the consequence of you finding in Titus 2 and 3. The love of God towards man. How we praise thee for that. For the sublime simplicity of salvation has tremendous depths that it might be wrought. Both of these things we praise you, Lord. We praise thee in the name of Jesus Christ.